good evening, and welcome into the light. Tonight we'll listen to two large chamber works, the recently released piano quintet of Amy Chaney Beach and the recently premiered string quartet of your host. Amy Beach, who lived from 1867 to 1944, was famous during her lifetime as one of America's leading composers. Of her over 300 compositions, almost all were published and performed in her lifetime. Indeed, her music was the most frequently played of her generation. Born Amy Marcy Chaney in 1867 in Henniker, New Hampshire, Amy's musical ability was apparent already as a toddler. Her mother reported that little Amy instinctively sang a counter-melody to her mother's lullabies. She completed her first musical compositions at age 4, and her enthusiasm for the piano was so great that her strict Calvinist parents would punish her when she needed punishing by not letting her play it. Cruel. She made her debut as a pianist at age 16. 2 years later, in 1885, she had a very busy year. In March, she made her first performance with the Boston Symphony Orchestra, playing the Chopin Piano Concerto in F. In June, she was taken to the doctor with a bruised finger. And in November of that year, Amy became that doctor's bride. Slightly older than Amy's own father, Dr. Henry H.A. Beach was a distinguished surgeon and physician and a widower. Dr. Beach ascribed to a tradition I have spoken of before on this program, that is, that women of class did not perform in public. So much for Amy's career as a concert pianist. Henry Beach wanted his wife at home, but to his credit, he encouraged and supported her composing. She became known professionally as Mrs. H.H.A. Beach, only changing her name to Amy Beach after Dr. Beach died in 1910. Well, today there is a great revival of Amy Beach's music. Pianist Virginia Eskin has done much for this, as has the author of the new Beach biography, Adrian Fried Block. A plaque was added to Beach's house in 1994, and there are increasing numbers of recordings of a broad range of her works. And yesterday, June 28th, musicologist Dr. Leanne Curtis gave a talk at the Boston Public Library as part of the celebration of the inscription of Amy Beach's name on Boston's famous Hatch Memorial Shell. This is the concert shell for the Boston Pops Orchestra. Dr. Curtis has been kind enough to send me a copy of the speech she gave yesterday. In it, she told her audience the background of how the shell came into existence. It was built in 1927 after the urging of the conductor Arthur Fiedler, who was angling for stewardship of the Boston Pops at that time. Over the years, it was redesigned and rebuilt, and in 1940 it was decided that the names of 50 great composers would adorn the shell. In a commendable effort to avoid any more controversy than necessary, no living composers were to be included. On the balloting's completion, 86 names were chosen. They couldn't keep it to 50. All men. Two living composers were included after all, Sibelius and Stravinsky. Some composers far more obscure than Beach were included, as were Beach's New England peers whom she had outlived, such as Chadwick, Foote, Payne, and Mason. So, why was Beach, one of Boston's most successful and celebrated composers, not included in the 86 composers' names? Perhaps at least some of the responsibility lies with Arthur Fiedler. As Fiedler's biographers note, he held very narrow views about the role of women. While his attitudes were commonplace in the 1930s, by the 1960s and 70s they were conspicuous and the subject of comment. Fiedler's biographer and fellow musician Harry Ellis Dixon has written a whole chapter called The Battle Between the Sexes. To mention just two of the anecdotes, in response to an observation that the orchestra was starting to include more women, Fiedler commented in disgust, "Yes, it looks like a cooking school, doesn't it?" But Fiedler did have one positive comment about orchestras including more women. He thought that at least financially strained institutions could save money that way, since, of course, women would be paid less. Fortunately, the musicians' union didn't see it that way. I'm going to read to you Leanne Curtis's rousing final statement of yesterday's speech in Boston. "What, ultimately, does adding Beach's name mean? By honoring Beach's contribution to Boston's rich musical heritage, we recognize a composer who achieved fame nationally and internationally. We correct a past omission and strengthen and invigorate a tradition of honoring composers by giving it a more substantial foundation. In constructing a picture of the musical past that omitted women, musicians, critics, and scholars build a flawed and distorted image. Achievements such as Beach's work need to be a part of our understanding of the musical past. Musical history needs to correct these past inaccuracies and recognize the contributions of those who previously had been ignored. To recognize a woman acknowledges the potential of all women. It gives strength to those who even now struggle to make inroads in parts of a profession that remain resistant to change. It might seem exaggerated to say the presence of Beach's name on this historic structure empowers women. But as silencing and erasing women have served as a means of keeping them from power, making Beach and her achievement visible is indeed empowering. I hope this visibility will also be a step toward making her music more audible. It is time for women to be heard and seen in public places. The monumentality of the Hatch Shell honors the monumentality of the great composers, including Amy Beach. A fine speech. Now, let's listen to Beach's Quintet in F-sharp minor for piano and string quartet, Opus 67. It was composed from 1905 to 1907. F-sharp minor is a black key for Beach. She also chose it for two of her vocal works, which have tragic texts. For her intense opening theme, Beach chose the second theme from the last movement of the Brahms Piano Quintet, Opus 34. Its underlying structure is a four-note Phrygian cadence. Da, 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 da. Like that, a musical figure associated for centuries with death and grieving. Let's listen to a little bit of the Brahms theme. She uses variants of this theme in the final movement of her quintet as well, as though the piece is a homage to Brahms, which indeed it might have been. The pianist in this recording is Joanne Polk, who has recorded a great many of Beach's piano works. She is joined by the Lark Quartet.